All right, today I am going to be speaking with Christine Wilhoit with a charity that she has started called Spoke 48. And you might have seen her in the paper recently because she is taking a very big bike ride. Tell me a little about it.
Yeah, so I'm gonna pretty much be riding my bike across the country, starting in Oregon, and I'm hoping to raise some money for physical education along the way.
Physical education, yeah. How'd you come up with that one?
Well, I've been active my whole life, and in November I was just finishing up my degree at Chico State in exercise physiology, and I was kind of getting ready to apply to PT school and looking for something to do. I wasn't ready to go, so I thought of this bike ride. The PE thing kind of came later. I was thinking about how I was feeling antsy, wanting to start helping people and start making a difference in people's lives. And I was kind of feeling down on myself, like, oh, I'm going to go kick the can down the road across the country on a bicycle, you know, like,
yeah.
So I'm kind of tried to combine those two things. And I was thinking how this route passes through a lot of rural towns, and rural towns tend to have pretty low funding for extracurriculars and things like physical education. And that's something I'm really passionate about, so they just kind of connected.
Now, what was your degree, or what did you study?
It was exercise physiology, so okay. Not quite physical education, and there's definitely, like, I lack expertise in the physical education area, for sure, which is why I chose to do more of a fundraiser. It crossed my mind to do a thing where I kind of went and gave a clinic or, like, a camp or something, which I think would be really awesome, but I don't know those communities, I don't know anything about them, mm-hmm. I don't know what their challenges are. And so it's just really not my place. I'm not an expert. But if I can raise money to improve, you know, they can tell me what they need, then I think that would be more impactful. So.
Now, are you from Chico?
I'm from Santa Rosa.
Okay, yeah. Then you came up to Chico State.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. And this last year has been strange.
Definitely, yeah. Yeah, it's been very different. It's been kind of awesome for me. I'm lucky enough that I've been able to live comfortably and... Mm-hmm. So I've had a lot more time to explore Chico. The last couple years, I'm in a couple bands, and I was also in a relationship long distance, and I was also working as, like, the area VP for the California Bluegrass Association in Butte County. So, like, every weekend before COVID happened, I was gone. Uh-huh. I was, like, doing something at a festival or at a jam or at a band practice or a gig or something, and this last year has given me the opportunity to really get to know Chico more and appreciate it and get to spend time in the community.
Mm-hmm. And then came up with this idea, and you are leaving next week?
Pretty much, yeah. So I'm leaving Chico on Monday, and then I'm going to go back to the Bay Area and hang out with a few friends and see family. And then my mom and a couple of my aunts are going to drive me up to Oregon on June 5th, and then I'm going to leave on June 7th.
Okay, so you've got everything packed up on a bike.
More or less, yeah.
Been thinking of all the best things to carry and the size of them and the weight of them.
Yeah, yeah. Luckily, we have the internet, which is a great resource.
Yes.
So I've been looking at, like, bikepacking blogs, and my roommate is a bike mechanic and is really into bikes, and he knows a few people who are pretty into bikepacking, and one of our other old roommates is also really into bikes. My bike guides,
yeah.
I call them, they've really, like, taught me a bunch about riding, and I wasn't really that into bikes until maybe last June.
Uh-huh.
And so they took me out a bunch of places and really got me into it and taught me how to take care of my bike and how to work on it and stuff. So
okay. And yeah. This whole plan came together to travel across the United States on a bike. How is it that people donate? It's not GoFundMe. It's a different one.
Yeah, it's called DonorBox.
And that way you're raising money, and the money that you raise, mm-hmm. you're going to use for a program that you will start, or?
Yeah. Well, yeah. So I'm kind of waiting to see what the need is. And that's kind of also what I'm going to use the trip for. Is the trip is a fundraiser, but it's also a chance for me to go talk to the teachers in the towns and hopefully interact with students and people in those towns and really listen to them and hear, like, what is different for them and what they need and what do they want, you know, uh-huh. like what are their priorities, how do they view physical education, all those things. Then I'm going to take the money think about all those things depending on how many people actually talk to me, you know, because you never know.
Sure.
And we'll see. It could be as simple as me buying a bunch of basketballs and sending them to like 100 schools, or it could be something like, if there's one, like there was one school that I called and they had no physical education program, they said it got cut because of funding. And for me, something like that, like if I could take that money and restart their program for them and like move myself out there and help kind of get it off the ground, that would be awesome. So,
the plan, you know, this, the places where you'll be stopping, like a little town where you'll be stopping.
Sort of.
And then will you just kind of speak to people that are there? And I mean, through the summer, there's no school. So you probably just catch, you know, a kid that's there and say, hey, do you have...
Hey, kid, what's your PE experience like? Yeah, I haven't really thought that all the way through. I'm thinking most of these towns, I've looked up the populations, and most of them are less than 1,000 people. Like they're pretty small. So I'm thinking that a girl riding through on her bike is going to be kind of like a head...
Yeah.
Hopefully. I mean,
sure.
They're on the route, so I'm sure they've seen it before, you know.
Yeah.
But people in smaller towns, it seems, tend to be more open to chatting.
Yeah. Right.
So that's one way. I also have that Facebook page and Spoke48's Facebook page. I'm going to be posting as I go and kind of trying to tap into those local Facebook networks to drum up awareness like before I get there.
Yeah, here I come. And if you see me.
Yeah, exactly. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and that might be kind of neat because you'll be a little bit of a celebrity if people are paying attention.
Oh, jeez. Yeah.
well, okay, maybe not. But at least somebody may say, oh, yeah. When you see somebody traveling on a bike like that with all their stuff, you want to almost say, hey, what in the world are you doing?
What are you thinking? Yeah, so we'll see how that goes. I also have a list of schools that are on the route that I had made. I changed my route, so now I'm going to have to change the list, but I do have like a lot of emails and stuff for a lot of the teachers in those areas.
Oh, that's good.
So I can reach out to them too, but
that's good.
I figure until I have money, you know, to do something, teachers right now are so slammed and so busy and
yeah.
I really don't expect much of a response on their end.
Sure. Well, and you don't probably need much because you're going to find probably pretty quickly that there's places that are lacking that kind of program.
Totally. Yeah.
And I, you know, we all know that right now for kids and exercise and moving and those things, it's pretty important.
Yeah, I mean, that's another reason I was kind of thinking with COVID and everything, how cool it would be to travel and even just play some games, you know, and get the kids off.
I mean, I don't know anybody there. So, yeah, COVID, that's another one. That will be a little interesting part of the whole thing,
right?
How communities have how they've moved along, who's getting immunized, who isn't,
right?
You know, California is pretty good and Chico is really good. We've been really good with masks and things, but I wonder what you're going to see out there.
Yeah, it'll definitely be different. I mean, I'm vaccinated, so hopefully that'll carry me pretty well. I mean, we'll see how things evolve with the different strains and all that.
Well, and safe for you, it's probably going to be more seeing how the communities are doing themselves.
Right.
Because, you know, we live in our own little bubbles, and then you are really going to be out there.
Absolutely, yeah. And that's, I think that's one of the things I'm most excited for, is to just see all these different perspectives and communities. Like, when I moved to Chico, it was so different from the Bay Area, obviously. In a really good way. And it surprised me. I wasn't expecting, like, when I first drove out here, I was kind of like, okay, you know, in the middle of nowhere, like, like every, you know, a lot of people say that. And but there's a lot of charm in Chico, and the community is so special and so awesome to be able to, like, go downtown to the farmer's market and see 20 people that I know.
We'll take a little break from our interview with Christine Wilhoit, traveling across the country on her bike this summer to raise money for physical education. I'm Bobby Tryon, and you're listening to North State Give and Take on KZFR 90.1 FM. Back to our interview with Christine Wilhoit, who will be riding her bike across the United States this summer to raise money for physical education. Well, now how do you see a day, and how much will you travel in a day? And then do you have a little tent and you'll have a little safe spot that you know you're heading that way?
Yeah, I'm thinking about like 50 miles a day. Mm-hmm. It's kind of the estimate. We're going to see how it goes. I had definitely planned to do more training up to this point, but I got kind of busy seeing friends and family, and that makes sense.
Well, you'll train on the road.
Yeah, I'm like, I have plenty of time to ride my bike. I'm going to be alone, so I better see my friends now.
Sure.
Yeah, so the first leg might be a little less than 50 miles, and then once I get into like the Idaho, Montana area, the mountains get pretty crazy. Mm-hmm. So that is going to hopefully just boost me up.
Right.
And then after that,
hopefully I'll be able to
knock out like, you know, more than that, but
yeah,
we'll see. Yeah. So typical day will probably be wake up, load up on oatmeal.
Yep.
Start riding early. Probably want to get most of the riding done by 2 or 3, just because mm-hmm. it's going to be hot.
Sure. And you want to be in the community.
Yeah. I want to be able to spend time there and chat with people and eat their food.
And then, yeah, really, that's another thing. What do you got here?
Yeah, totally.
Well, and you said that there is a group that has a map for someone who wants to travel across the country.
Yeah, it's called the Adventure Cycling Association, and it was founded, I think, 30 years ago. This group of people basically set out to ride across the country, and they didn't have the route, they didn't have a map or anything. They had kind of thought about it, and they pretty much like pioneered the route. And if you go to their website, you can see now in their route network, they have a bunch of different ones and multiple ones that go across the country. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'm linking a few of theirs together. I'm gonna take the Transamerica Trail up into like Missouri, and then I'm gonna hop on what's called Bicycle Route 66 up to Chicago, and then kind of go around Lake Michigan, and then cross through, maybe even dip up into Canada for a minute, and then cross mm-hmm. through New York and then to Maine.
Oh, I can't imagine riding your bike and then riding into Chicago.
Right? Yeah, we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, I know. It's going to be interesting. And different people you'll meet. Do they take into account some of the roads that are better for cyclists?
Absolutely, yeah. So that route network that they have, it's kind of listed, and it'll show the overview and then the maps you have to purchase. But it's well worth the money. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's exactly what they've done. They've tried to pick roads that are efficient for the purpose of travel, but also that are safe and good for cyclists.
Yeah,
because
some of the roads I see, and kind of when you get on the East Coast, which I've been there enough times, some of those roads are, you know, more, they're narrow.
Yeah.
They're old.
Yeah.
You know, they have... Didn't think about that.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I've never been over there, so we'll see.
Oh, well, that'll be another neat thing.
Just poking my nose in.
Yeah, that will be interesting.
Absolutely.
Different. You'll get some nice humid weather to ride in.
Oh, yeah. That's another reason why I thought maybe heading north would be a little more pleasant. So,
how long do you think this will take?
I'm thinking maybe 15 weeks, depending on, I think I set it so that I would be riding like 6 days a week.
Yeah.
But I'm really flexible. I have no expectations. Uh-huh. I'm just going to see what my body tells me to do.
Yeah, that sounds neat.
So
neat. And then how much money do you think you're trying to raise? Do you have an idea?
You know, I set my goal at 10,000 just because why not? You know, I was talking to one of my friends who's a principal at a school, and she kind of implied that 1,000, 2,000 could buy equipment, you know, but 5 or 10, to me it sounded like could make a bigger impact. So mm-hmm. I kind of wanted to pick a goal that could do something that was going to go in place that would be sustainable mm-hmm. impact rather than kind of like another Band-Aid situation.
Yeah.
But we'll see. I mean,
yeah, I know it's so tricky, isn't it? Just the different politics in different towns and school boards and what they choose to do and that kind of thing.
So we'll see what happens. I'm not so much set on, you know, buying something for 1,000 different schools as I am as if I can pick one school that really wants to have a relationship and see if we can do something.
See if you can do something.
Yeah.
And will you go all the way to Boston, all the way to the ocean on the other side?
That's the goal. Yeah. Some people will do the thing where they put their back tire in the Pacific and take a picture, and then they do the thing with the Atlantic.
Oh, that will be really interesting to actually be in New England, which is so tight and small compared to what you will have come through.
Right. Yeah. It'll be really crazy. It'll be cool.
And busy.
Right. I'm really excited for that, just to see all the different ways that people choose to build their communities.
Yes, exactly.
It'll be really interesting.
Yeah. With the focus sort of on activity.
Right.
And kids.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, just seeing the different ways of lives. I mean, like, for example, in Santa Rosa, things are pretty spread out. So you kind of have to own a car to get a lot of places. Whereas in Chico, like, I rode my bike over to your house. It took me 5 minutes.
Right.
I can ride my bike to work. It takes me 15 or 20 minutes. Right. And so it'll be interesting to see, like, those different things are challenges that different communities face with their physical activity and physical education.
Right, how easy it is to do it, right.
Like, how easy it is to, and how built in it is to your life. Like, we've got Bidwell Park that's right there. It's, like, so accessible. We can just ride our bikes up there and go swimming, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
That's not the same everywhere.
Well, actually, it's probably...
it's quite rare.
We're quite rare. how lucky we are that way.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that might be kind of, almost discouraging when you get out there and see how it's not that easy for people to get exercise in other places.
Yeah, well, it's definitely a different challenge, and it's a different landscape. Like, even just living in a city, like Chicago or something like that.
Yeah, I know.
It's a lot of concrete and city smells and...
and gyms.
Right.
And I mean, not that a gym is bad, but sometimes that's all you can do.
Right. And I think the gym thing, there's kind of been a thing in physical education that it's all about, like, sports and exercise, you know?
Right.
And I don't think it has to be. I think it would be awesome to kind of also spread the message that it's what works for you, you know? It's what you love to do. And there's got to be that balance. Like, yes, we have the science, and we have science that guides us in what we know is quote-unquote best. But then you also have yourself and, like, what you love to do. And you kind of have to put those things together.
You do.
And so in these different communities where all they have is a gym, or in communities where they don't have gyms at all, it's, like, two completely different things.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. It'll be really interesting.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting.
Yeah, it's that whole thing about moving and moving your body.
Yeah.
Of course, the idea of that and how you feel about it starts young. And that's the place to kind of get in there and get people doing it and having it become part of your life.
Yeah.
Because it's easy if you don't, I mean, if you don't do that, then you don't think of doing that.
Right. And it's intimidating. I mean, it's scary. Like, even I remember the first time, maybe a year and a half ago, that my roommate took me on a bike ride, like a real bike ride, you know, like, I had ridden my bike before, but I had never gone on a bike ride.
Yeah.
he took me up Humboldt Road, and we're, like, riding on the roads to get there. And then we went up Humboldt. This is before it was closed off from cars too. And then we rode down 32, and one, that was, like, the hardest thing I'd ever done. I was, like, toasted. I kept stopping. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm dying, dude. And he was on a single speed, super far ahead of me. And that was crazy to me. Like, I would have never taken my bike on a road with cars.
Yeah.
I would have been so scared. I would have had no idea what to do. So just having someone else to show you, like, oh, you can do this, and let's do it together. It makes a huge difference.
It's inspiring for people.
Yeah.
They kind of go like, oh, I could maybe do that.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it just, I think people don't necessarily think about how accessible things are to them until they actually are there doing it.
Well, and it's that first step.
Yeah.
I mean, out of all the things that we do, that first day you go to yoga, that first day you do any of those things is kind of like, oh.
Yeah, and so hopefully, I mean, my goal is to just help people kind of find what they love to do. I mean, and some people, you know, really never like to exercise.
Right.
And I think that's fine, personally. Like, we have the science that shows exercise is good, and certainly I want to promote it, you know. But to me, also, the most important thing is supporting your body in a way that it's going to support you and living the life that you want to live.
Right.
You know, and everyone needs their body to support them for something that they love.
Yeah.
It's in a different capacity.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to tell them what that is. But I definitely want to empower them and educate them so that they can figure it out and do it the best.
Well, and we all know, even if you don't like to exercise, which I get caught in this over time as, you know, as I've grown up, there's times when I don't want to, but I know that...
It's going to feel good afterwards.
I know that I hate this word, should.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, I need to do it. Uh-huh. You kind of need to...
Yeah.
Kind of do it.
Yeah, so there's that balance.
There is a balance.
And there's also just movement to kind of connect to your body and connect to yourself. And that can be really valuable.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and seeing a person riding their bike across the country is pretty inspiring, I would imagine, especially for
I hope the shock factor at least is enough for them to listen to me when I tell them, like, hey, it's fun, you know?
Yeah, but I mean, some kids, you know, it's neat because they can go, wow, boy, she can do that. I mean, you know, they may think about that.
Yeah, I mean, I've had quite a few injuries, and in high school I had a concussion that put me out of sport for like over a year. Uh-huh. And at the time, like, that was all I did was soccer.
Uh-huh.
So it was pretty rough. And so now I'm just so grateful for my body, and I'm excited to just like see what it can do, you know? Like, we're just gonna go on this journey and like,
yeah, that's see. Neat. That's so neat. It's great to hear a young person that has that kind of get up and go.
Gung-ho,
Yeah,
I mean, that's what it's about, right? In the work that I've been doing the last couple of years, I've just seen a lot of folks and whose bodies have broken down on them. And it's heartbreaking. Like, that is, it's horrible.
It is.
And our bodies are like one of our first vessels of expression, really, you know, through our body language and how we talk and and move and...
Well, and it has so much to do with mental health.
Yeah.
Your body.
Definitely.
You know, and, you know, as a person that's getting older, that's another whole relationship. Mm-hmm. And it's years of living with this body.
Right.
And where is it today?
Yeah.
You know?
Right. Yeah, and so I think teaching people to stay connected to their bodies, treat them well, you know, and to learn what works for them is just...
Yeah.
Invaluable.
Yeah.
And hopefully empowering, like, to see patients and to see physical therapists and speech therapists and occupational therapists all take patients that are, you know, really struggling and give them the tools that they need to improve their lives. It's awesome.
Yeah.
And I don't see why we can't be giving those people those tools earlier too.
Absolutely. You know? Well, boy, that is the thing, is starting people young on being aware of weight, being aware of what you eat, being aware of what you do. And, you know, I know that public education does do some of that, but then there's the funding, like you said.
Yeah, yeah. And I've noticed recently, too, that there's a lot of messaging that can sometimes conflict. Like, it seems to be sometimes there's, like, this really hardcore science messaging that's, like, being overweight is bad. This is bad. And this is what you need to do. And this is how you need to do it, you know? And then there's like the health at every size movement on the other end of that spectrum.
What's that?
I am not an expert on it. But it's pretty much the idea that at any size, you can take steps to be healthier. And it's basically saying, like, I think at least it's saying, if you fixate on losing weight, potentially you're putting yourself in a less healthy situation rather than choosing healthy habits and things that are enriching in that sense. And that's been an interesting kind of messaging to see.
Well, that is that message, and that whole thing about body image is just a whole other thing.
And that's something that I definitely... have a passion for too, is like, you should love yourself.
Yeah.
You know, and when you accept yourself and accept those, your choices, you know, and it's okay to eat a quote unquote bad food, you know, it's okay to eat a good food, do what you want, connect to your body and listen to it and see what it wants, you know, and sometimes it wants to move and sometimes it doesn't. And you know, like, all I hope to do is to give people the science that we know and then also give them the empowerment and the security knowing that they know themselves best, they know what they want, it's their choice, and let them take science and a little bit of self-love and put it together and be empowered to live the way they want.
Right. And be inspiring by actually doing it and touching a few people as you go and
hopefully
spreading that message.
We'll see.
Yeah.
That would be cool.
That would be cool. Yeah, that would be great.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens.
Uh-huh. Well, good. So where can people who want to support you, what's mm-hmm. the best thing and how do they do it?
Facebook right now, it's at Spoke48, like bicycle spoke. So if you go like donorbox.org/spoke48,
okay,
it'll just take you right
there. Take you right there.
Yeah.
So people can go there and donate.
Mm-hmm. Which, and then yeah, I've got a little bit of the story and bio on there too. There's the article that was recently in there.
Uh-huh. Right. That's how I found you. I saw you on the front page.
Cool.
Yeah. I love the paper.
All right.
that was neat. So hopefully this will get out there and more people will hear about
it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hopefully.
And
that so.
And those kind of things. That's how we connect, just like you said, the whole community thing and mm-hmm. how to yeah. support it. And do you have like a little solar panel on your bike so as you're ready and collecting?
Well, yeah, so I could put it up on my bike, so I've got it set up so that I can stick a guitar on the back.
Oh, yes.
Which is really important for me. I'm really into bluegrass music, and so I could not imagine like traveling for 4 months without
it.
That vessel.
Uh-huh.
So I'll have the guitar, and then on top of the guitar case, I could uh-huh. probably set up the solar panel. Uh-huh. It also makes a really good burrito holder. Like, you can really put like a whole plate of food on top of the guitar. It's kind of like a shelf.
Yes.
And there's bungee cords that cross on the top.
Oh, funny.
So you can really like keep some serious grub intact on the
top.
That's so funny. Yeah.
So that's another way that you'll connect. Is if people see a guitar, or if you're sitting and playing, which I imagine you will be.
For sure, yeah.
That's another way that you'll
They'll
attract.
Come tell me to please stop, please shut up.
Right. Or they'll sit around and go, oh, that's so great.
We'll see, yeah.
Yeah. Well, and other musicians may very well. You may get some situations where you're playing with people.
Right.
That's another great thing to
absolutely, yeah.
have with you.
And that would be awesome. Just jamming, and bluegrass is a really like community-centered
right.
thing.
Right.
So if I could jam with people along the way,
oh, I bet
be super
you can.
Fun.
And they'll be in as you get sort of in the Midwest. You may find some places where it's you know more popular than other
right.
places.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
It could be pretty good.
Yeah, it's kind of funny because like out here, people seem to love bluegrass because there's like not that much of it, and then. Out there, it's almost like, I don't know what to expect.
Right.
You know, they might be like, ah, bluegrass again.
Yeah, right. Who knows? Yeah.
So we'll see.
But, oh, that's great. That's a nice added part to it.
Yeah, yeah.
When you see somebody with a guitar, you go, oh, wow, music.
Yeah, right.
So people can donate it. Donor box, that's it.
Yeah, donorbox.org/spoke48. The
yeah.
children will appreciate the donations.
Yes, absolutely. Christine, I'm so glad that I connected up with you.
Yeah, me too. Thanks for chatting. Thanks
yeah,
for having me.
Yeah, and it's just so, like I said, it's wonderful to see a young person that's, you know, got an idea and is doing it.
Oh, thank you.
And yeah. and a good one, you know, one that's for community and, you know, for the better.
Thanks. Yeah. We'll see
yeah.
how it goes.
Okay, great.
Keep an eye out.
All right, thanks.
Yeah.
Thank you to Christine. And if you'd like to donate to her cause, go to donorbox.org/spoke48. You've been listening to North State Give and Take on KZFR 90.1 FM. My name's Bobby Tryon, and I will be back next Tuesday at 6 p.m. And we'll be doing an interview with the folks from the Sutter Buttes. See you then.